Welcome to Doughboys Double. I'm Nick Weiger alongside the Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell. Mitch, we just ate a very heavy meal. I am feeling it.
Mine wasn't as heavy.
Really?
Yeah. You if you remember, I mean, I did. I mean, I guess it was.
Yeah, you got a bowl. We went to Chipotle. So this episode that we're recording right now.
We'll be after it anyway.
This will come out afterwards. So we're recording this immediately post our Chipotle meal. I had a big ass burrito.
I got a salad.
You got the salad. You got something a little bit. You know what? It's crazy what a difference that tortilla makes. Because really that's the only difference there. It's just
big time.
You got to wrap around all that stuff that you'd normally have in that bowl. And it makes it a lot heavier.
And guess what, Nick? We're going to eat some more.
Yeah, we got a little bit more food to get into.
Oh, what fun.
this life we have made for ourselves. Hey, you know what? Here we are. It's a lovely afternoon. We've got a lovely guest. From Comedy Bang Bang and Wet Hot American Summer, first day of camp, our friend Michael Blakelock is here. Hi, Mookie.
Hi. Back for redemption.
Redemption?
I think that I have a theory that the Doughboys episode that I was on previously is the worst episode of Doughboys.
Well, I don't think that's your fault if that's the case, and I don't see how that's
the
case.
Well, here are the facts, okay? It was the Doughlympics.
Yeah, that was bad. Right, that wasn't your fault.
Widely considered the worst gimmick this podcast has ever done.
Right.
It was the first one, so you were still trying to take it seriously.
Yeah, we didn't know that it was a debacle yet.
Right.
I had a hunch.
At the end of it, we interviewed Lights, Camera, Jackson, which everyone hated.
You know what? I'm a big Lights guy.
I love him.
But I don't. Great. A lot of our fans are not partisans of Mr. Jackson.
He definitely doesn't listen to this, so you can say that, right?
Lights. Well, I think we have some. I think Jackson Murphy is aware that some Doughboys listeners are not necessarily Lights, Camera, Jackson fans.
Yes.
And so that is not any... We love Lights. That is not anything against him coming from our end. But some of our fans had a negative response.
I'm team Fist Fight.
Oh, wait, so because Lights, Camera, Jackson, I think, gave a D to Fist Fight?
He was rough on Fist Fight. I'm team Fist Fight.
Yeah, so you're standing up against him.
I want to see the new Fist Fight. Evan Susser versus Lights, Camera, Jackson.
Oh, boy. No. Not fair.
What do you mean, no?
Not fair.
You know how winded Susser would get trying to box somebody.
Yeah, I think Lights would probably kick his ass.
Not fair to either of them. Anyways, so sorry.
What was your what did we cover on your Olympics episode?
It was pizza. We also, that episode included the fry counting incident.
Right.
Where Susser made us count fries.
God, what a mess.
We all on microphone, we're going 1, 2, 3 and pulling fries out.
What was the goal?
Out of little bags.
Was it to see who could count the fastest?
It was like fries from like McDonald's, Burger King, and like Wendy's or something, and who gave the most fries in a small order of fries.
So we weren't competing against each other. We were just helping him count? Is that what it was?
The fries were competing against each other. Okay. We were counting, and then we had to go like, if there was like a half fry or like a little fry nug, we'd have to be like, does this count? And he'd be like, no or yes. It was.
I think in hindsight, that's pretty funny.
Oh, it was great. That's when we started to break down, and the Olympics became what it actually would become. But it was at the end of the podcast.
Right.
So, again, I'm very sorry.
Do you know that when
none of this is on
when Susser and Weiger came up with the Olympics, I thought it was bad. We should let that be known.
You're putting this on us.
It was on you.
I don't think that you... I don't remember your dissent being strong of like, we shouldn't do this,
you
guys.
Very much had a pod takeover.
You think this was a pod? This was
the Spoon Man was integral.
No, this is you. You're washing your hands. You're trying to like distance yourself
this
from something that you
true.
Owned as much as anybody.
I did not own the Doughlympics.
No, it sounded to me like Susser, it was his idea.
Right.
And because he's this fake commissioner that you made up, you were like, I guess we got to do it. I mean, you guys don't have to do anything he tells you to do.
We don't have to do that.
We're grown men.
We've since figured that out.
Yeah, that he's not in charge of this podcast, that he didn't start.
I just got off the phone with Susser, and we have to do this thing, or else we're fired.
Hey, you know, we were talking... Go for it, Mitch.
Speaking of fries...
I was gonna get to that. We were gonna do the same transition, but I wanted to talk about one more thing before we got there.
Okay.
If that's okay. But we are going to talk about fries today. I know where your head is at, and it's the right place. But Mookie, this is... we recently reviewed with a friend of yours, Joe Mandy. We reviewed Dunkin' Donuts, which I know is a chain that you have some strong opinions on.
Sure.
And I wanted to get your take on Dunkin' before we get into the meat of the podcast.
That's
here.
Good because, yes, we were going to have Mookie on for Dunkin'. Well, you know what?
I almost feel like we talked about Dunkin' Donuts the last time a little bit, but
we did a lot.
Well, Dunkin' Donuts, so I'm from Massachusetts. New England, Boston, the East Coast is like where basically there's
what
millions
town?
And millions. Ashland, Massachusetts. Okay. You've never heard of it. Trust me.
What street?
Main Street. On the corner of Main Street and... No. I fear for my family. But growing up there, I think Dunkin' Donuts is just one of those things that like you just can't... You can't avoid.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Where it's just like...
We run on it.
Yeah. Well, America runs on it at this point. But you just by living where you live near all of those Dunkin' Donuts, you just eat tons and tons of Dunkin' Donuts.
Right.
And scary.
Is Fred the donut man here?
It's a package.
Oh, a package.
Yusong's gonna sign for it.
Thank you, Yusong.
And
thank you.
Yeah, you just end up by default like eating there so many times that it just becomes a part of your life, and it's almost like you don't have an opinion on it. It's right. Like breathing.
Yep, I agree with that 100%.
Yusong, what did you get? What is that?
Yeah, let's open it.
Is that to Mitch or is that to us?
It's to me.
Okay, so that's
from Ted Kaczynski.
We're friends.
You guys are pen pals, yeah. From the joint, from Supermax.
Me and Kaczynski are pen pals.
Wow.
Is Ted Kaczynski, is he?
I think he's dead now.
Is he dead?
Is he dead? Executed. I don't know.
No, maybe he's still on death row.
Yeah. Oh, I heard what happened to him. He got a return to sender and they opened it up.
Oh, boy.
What?
Classic Kaczynski goof.
That was funny.
I liked it.
The one time I forgot to put a return address. Oh, my God. And it blew up in my face, literally.
I know what this is.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. It's not for this episode, but it's for an upcoming episode.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, that would you believe?
By coincidence, we got something delivered for an upcoming episode while we're recording
while
an episode.
While we're recording this episode. Wow. I will say this. It's something from Chicago.
Okay.
Oh. And we just got a shipment of it.
Hmm.
So.
Is it the...
I have a guess.
Please.
Well, I don't want to ruin it for the next. Can I guess what it is?
Yeah.
Bill
Murray? Tell me off air. Is it Garrett's popcorn?
It is not Garrett's popcorn.
Okay. I have a guess.
I've told you, Nick.
Okay, well, I'm still going to guess.
Okay.
Is it Scottie Pippen?
Scottie Pippen might be in that box.
Shoes, at least. It's a big box.
Very exciting.
It's a very tall box. So it could be Scottie Pippen. Both of you are close.
Okay. Oh. Popcorn and Scottie Pippen both in the right ballpark.
It's Scottie Pippen. It's a sneaker full of Garrett's popcorn.
It's some other concession they sell at the Bulls Arena.
Hey, if you're going to get a shoe filled with popcorn, give me Shaq's shoe.
Oh, boy, right?
Yeah, that'll the extra large.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And make sure he wore that shit first.
That's. I guess it would kind of taste saltier. Nick, do you watch Hard Knocks, Nick?
No, I don't want this. I love the Hard NFL Knocks. Show.
It's a great show.
On HBO, right?
You have a stance against...
I don't follow the NFL.
The NFL. Well, you know what? Last night they were talking about... it was DeSean Jackson and then... what's his name? The receiver for Tampa Bay who's awesome.
Oh, I forget his name.
I forget his name, too. Oh, well.
They're following the Bucks this season.
Yeah, they're following the Bucks this season. And they were talking about who was better, Kobe and or LeBron,
where
they ranked. You would like this show. It's right up your alley.
I'm sure
you
like the show.
At the end of the last episode, they were all talking. They were doing a montage of all the players talking about how much they love Game of Thrones.
That's
were
true.
They really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's something you might like about it.
Okay.
There's also a section where they talk about how much they hate Doughboys.
Why do they listen to it?
I don't know.
It's their hate listen?
It's their hate listen.
Huh, how about that?
When they're punished for staying out after hours or instead of doing sprints, they have to listen to Doughboys.
They just put, Doughboys over the loudspeaker.
That's brutal. I would not want to be subjected to that.
Do you think we have any NFL players who listen to the podcast?
Hey, you know what? If you're in the NFL and you subscribe to the Doughboys double,
# hut hut.
Hut hut, yeah. And if you're not in the NFL, but you still subscribe to the double, # not not.
I wanted a hut nut.
Oh, hut nut. Okay, # hut nut. Hut nut?
Yeah,
hut nut. # hut nut. All right, let's get to business. McDonald's fries.
Yes.
So, Malcolm Gladwell famous brainiac. He has this podcast, much more successful, much more visible than ours, Revisionist History. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, as opposed to our sort of fuck around session, it's this produced show that he, where he does a lot of research and he does a lot of writing, and it's cut together with all this different, you know, transitional music.
It's what you envision this podcast to be.
You think I envision that this you, slickly produced?
When you sit and daydream.
Right.
When you go into your little dream mode.
That we did, that we just be talking about, like, you know, I thought about getting Wendy's one afternoon.
Yes. You should just hire a sitar player or something. I don't. Yeah.
Those basically are your Doughboys intros. I could hear Malcolm Gladwell reading those.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
He's a brainiac.
Right.
Nerd.
He is a nerd.
He's a classic nerd. Classic Poindexter.
Yes. My blood boils while I listen to him.
He does have that kind of nerd voice. You know, it's just sort of like you get, I mean, maybe that's what my voice sounds like, but it's just got that kind of like dweeb sort of nasally sound to it.
Well, do you know what he looks like too?
Yeah.
He's like the scrawniest. Has like a like big weird curly hair and big glasses.
Yeah, he's like a Revenge of the Nerd.
Yeah,
it's like cast member. But anyway, Malcolm Gladwell has this episode, this podcast, Revisionist History, very successful. Episode 9, most recent episode as of this recording, is called McDonald's Broke My Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally, you know, if anyone out there is if it's a subject, McDonald's fries, or something that's interesting to them, maybe you listen to this that episode now. Maybe you listen to that after you listen to this one. But I think any Doughboys double listener is probably someone who's engaged and thinks a lot about chain restaurant food and would probably be interested in this, because it is a very interesting.
It is interesting
survey of McDonald's fries, McDonald's food preparation, and how it's changed over the decades. And fundamentally, it's about a transition point in 1990 when McDonald's changed its fry oils from beef tallow, from animal fat, to vegetable oil, and then that permanently altered the character of its fries.
Yep.
So I guess the place where I'd want to start with you guys is, do either of you, I think I'm the oldest of the three of us, but do any of us remember pre-1990 McDonald's fries?
Here's the thing. Yeah, no. I mean,
I don't think I do either. And I would have been 9 or 10 years old in 1990, and I still don't. Like, I don't think of the McDonald's fries now as different than the McDonald's fries I remember from when I was a little kid.
I do remember like news about them changing.
Sure.
Like, I just remember that being a thing, but then I more specifically remember when it changed again to zero trans fat.
Oh yeah, and that was in the mid 2000s, I think.
Yeah, but I like very vaguely as a kid remember like something it actually changed two more times.
Right. I think Gladwell talks about that on the podcast a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he gets into it a little bit.
I always remember people saying that it's just a thing where everybody says McDonald's fries are the best fries, and it's. But if there was a time in my life that I remembered that, hearing that enough to do it, it would have been after 1990.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that.
Who knows?
Yeah. It is strange. Yeah, because I feel like.
Right, because I remember with Coke, it was like there was Coca-Cola Classic, then there was New Coke, and then there was. Like, there was, for me, I have a clear memory of like, oh, it used to be good, and then they changed it, and then it got good again. Whereas with fries, I don't remember, like, this might be, I may have heard some little talk of it in the past, or I knew that they used to use animal fats at one point, but this was the clearest I'd heard anyone say, like, oh, this, they used to be better. I just always kind of knew McDonald's fries are the best. I never knew that, like, oh, these things that we know of as the best, they used to be even better than they are now. That was never a narrative I'd really heard.
You remember New Coke? I do not remember.
I have that. A vague memory. Like, I don't remember ever having it, but I have a vague memory of it existing.
Okay.
I mean, Crystal Pepsi is firmer in my mind.
Yes, I remember Crystal Pepsi for sure.
But New Coke was, I definitely like remember that as, because I remember reading it. Actually, I think it was a Mad Magazine spoof of New Coke. I think that's my whole memory. Of it, and then how Coca-Cola Classic was actually better.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I didn't realize they'd actually tinkered with the formula. So
that's one of those things that's like, you know, I think this was like my initial thought, because you had sent me just like an article with a link to the podcast with like a synopsis that was like, you know, Malcolm Gladwell started hating McDonald's fries once they switched from frying them in beef tallow. And that's like one of those things where you're like, well, yeah, you know, like they used to also make their burgers out of like fresh, you know, ground beef. And like, it's just like, it's fast food. Like, you can't expect
yeah.
that you're you know, being a snob about like, well, they don't fry them in beef. It's like, who cares? It's like they're mass producing. There's millions and millions of McDonald's. Like if they're making crispy fries, like who cares? Stop nitpicking.
Right. They're trying to settle the most time efficient and cost efficient method of production.
Well, the other thing too, is that don't a lot of vegetarians love McDonald's fries because they are not, cooked in tallow.
And that was actually a thing that I like, you know, cause Gladwell talks about all these aspects of it and sort of settles on one bit of reasoning. That's pretty convincing in terms of why McDonald's did that, which we'll get to in a second. But one thing he doesn't discuss at all, and I was kind of expecting to come from, you know, the Brainiac's perspective, was there's nothing that talks about the ethics of using animal byproducts to make fries, which can very easily be a vegetarian product. And there's nothing talking about how this is like one of the few vegetarian options at a fast food restaurant, that like fries are reliably one of the only things you can get where if you don't eat meat, where you can actually have that be a source of calories that you can get from a fast food spot.
Is tallow though, is that like, is it in the way of like, would we be using all the animal if we used tallow? Like,
right.
I don't know.
Well, yeah. Well, the crazy part, if I shouldn't transition into this part.
No, go for it, please.
But like, you know, I think I was very ready to like hate on super nerd Malcolm Gladwell for being like, they don't fry in beef tallow anymore.
Right.
But like the reason that it changed from that, well, first of all, what it is now, hold on. The reason that it changed to that was because of this guy, Phil Sokolov or whatever.
Yeah.
Who
isn't there a Boston sport? Wasn't there a
Jim Sokolov, attorney at law?
That's who it is.
I'm Jim Sokolov. Have you been injured in an accident?
Yeah. This is like a local TV guy.
TV guy, yeah. He was an attorney.
Now I think is like a national lawyer firm or something like that. They like went national or something.
That's insane.
What's it called again?
Jim Sokolov.
Jim Sokolov. Attorney at law.
Yeah.
The guy we had out here, I don't know if this is national, Larry H. Parker.
I've seen the billboards.
Larry H. Parker was a big local TV guy, and he's like, I'm Larry H. Parker, and I'll fight for you. And then they always had this guy who was in a motorcycle accident was at the end of every one of his spots, and he'd be like, Larry H. Parker got me $2.1 million. And like just like a very flat non-actor delivery. And
which sounds real.
It was, yeah. And then by the end of it, he'd like done so many spots, and Larry H. Parker's like, I'll fight for you. And then there was a point where the motorcycle accident guy said, Larry H. Parker got me. You know the rest.
He was a staple.
Yeah.
I saw a Larry H. Parker billboard yesterday where it was him, or it was two guys, and it was just said Larry H. Parker, and there was a Photoshop, like Tommy Lasorda was like Photoshopped in between them. There was no reason why he was there. It was just like, we're friends with Tommy Lasorda.
Right.
You know what we should for the...
And he was like near, it was like now near death Tommy Lasorda. Like he was, wasting away.
Oh boy.
We should for this episode, for the picture, we should also Photoshop Tommy Lasorda. That'd
be great. Right. We'll do that. Yusung, can you do that? He's giving me a thumbs up. Okay.
We just made, for a thing that no one will like, we made like 2 hours of work for Yusung.
I mean, that's what this podcast is at this point, right?
Yeah,
we're giving Yusung all sorts of tasks to help create this product that a lot of people don't get any joy out of. Least of all us. Okay, so yeah. So Phil Sokolov. And this was a quote in the Grub Street write-up that I just cribbed here, and I'll read this verbatim because I thought this is a pretty good characterization of how...
Did you catch the Grub Street write-up? What the fuck? The Grub Street
There's
write-up?
A Grub Street write-up of the podcast.
That's insane.
Okay, well, I looked at it just for some reference and just to fill it, make sure I had some facts right from listening through the podcast.
I'm saying it's cool. I'm just saying it's insane.
But all right, well, this is a quote that I thought is pretty good in terms of... tackling how the podcast progressed. But Gladwell's personal vendetta is woven into the far more interesting story of Phil Sokolov, the drywall magnate who spent millions crusading against saturated fat and cholesterol and convinced McDonald's to swap the beef fat for vegetable oil. So basically, Phil Sokolov was this zealot who he'd had a heart attack at a very young age, and he was convinced this is the 1990s when the low-fat diet craze was what was driving everyone's thought process in terms of nutrition. And Sokolov goes on this one-man crusade to basically get saturated fats out of foodstuffs. And that includes, you know, tackling school lunches, but it also includes tackling the biggest fast food franchises. And so he kind of is trying to convince McDonald's to go to vegetable oil. part of what that there's this showdown between him and a McDonald's exec named Dick Starman, which is a great name, on the Today Show. That's kind of
and he's still alive, Dick Starman.
Yeah, I think Dick Starman is still alive. And so he talks with Dick Starman and on the Today Show, and they have the showdown, and that's kind of the point where McDonald's ends up having, they have like this PR disaster, and they end up having to change their fry oil at that point. And then from that point forward, it's just all been vegetable oil. And there have been some deviations from that, as we touched on earlier, but it's fundamentally, that was the point at which everything changed. So I guess what I'm saying, I guess you were driving towards something with that, Mookie, when you brought that up.
Well, just that is the part that was shocking to me,
right,
and pissed me off so much, where it's just like, okay, so one guy had a health scare,
yeah,
had a heart attack, and now everybody in the world doesn't get to have
the beef
tallow fries or whatever.
Sure.
Because one guy, you know what I mean? You know, it's like your friend or your dad or somebody like goes on a diet and loses 7 pounds, and then they're the fucking expert about
right.
losing weight. And every time you eat something, they're like, actually, you should eat half of that and have half later. Like, fuck you. Like,
yeah.
You're doing your thing. Like, you had a heart attack. You thought it was, you decided it was because of saturated fat. And now everyone in the world, where you're threatening, you know, he was like threatening to like take out full page ads on places that wouldn't change their
right.
deep fat fryers from fat to something else.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you, dude.
It was like,
that sucks.
Yeah. He sounds shitty. Go ahead.
Yeah. I know that the type, cause as you were saying that, I think of a guy I knew at one point who was just he was like an anti-sugar guy. And it's just, his thing was like orange juice, worst thing in the world. It's like, God, like just let people have orange juice if they want it.
And also tough news for everybody. Not the worst thing in the world. Right. Shut up.
There's worse things you can drink than orange juice. But it's also like, I feel like there is something to the guy who, because in terms of trying to be conscious of eating healthily,
mm-hmm.
there's something particularly annoying, which is the thing I try to be conscious of. I think we all try to be conscious of it at this table, but there's something particularly annoying about the uninvited or the unsolicited of advice for how you should be eating.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's what it kind of seemed like this Sokolov character was all about, is that he was just basically, you know, going to everyone and like lecturing the country on how we should be eating and how we should be feeding people.
But also threatening them if they didn't change.
Right.
Which is, he's an insane man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
When I was about 7 years old, my dad's dad died. This is about 1989.
Okay.
And I got really freaked out because he had a heart attack.
Right.
And I was so afraid that he had died of a heart attack while he was sleeping. I was very afraid to eat McDonald's specifically. This is around the same time this sort of thing happened. And so, like, as a boy, I was like, I'm going to quit McDonald's. And I, like, quit McDonald's. But here's the difference. I was a child. Sokolov was he was 42 or something when this happened. And then, like, eventually I was like, oh, it's moderation. And then I eventually was like, oh, I don't care about moderation. I ate it all the time. But, like, but it's also that thing of, like, the weird thing of, like, I don't even know. Like, when they first changed the formula, there were like fumes coming out of the fryers, and like film was coming on people's clothes, and their clothes would combust when they put them in on the trucks to have them washed.
Yeah, it's like, Gladwell talks about that a little bit.
And I mean, like, that's insane. And it's that sort of thing of like, how much healthier is it? It's an unknown sort of thing. Are there carcinogens in this stuff? You know what I mean?
Like, right. Because at some level, at a basic level, you know, polyunsaturated fats are a healthier fat than the saturated fats. However, if you're going to a polyunsaturated fat, but you're also trying to retain the flavor of the beef tallow fries, there are all these chemicals and additives that are involved, and maybe mm-hmm. that is what is actually making it less healthy. It's like the whole artificial sweetener debate, you know? Yeah, it's like, Diet Coke maybe laterally as unhealthy as regular Coke, because we just don't know how these artificial sugar substitutes, you know, physiologically manifest themselves in the body? Well, I don't know.
Well, that's what, like, it is, I mean, like, saturated fats are not bad for you.
Sure.
They got this bad rap when the whole like fat thing, which is also something I heard that was like invented by the sugar industry.
I can see that.
Just going like, well, we're giving people diabetes and we're truly making them fat. And they went like, you know, hey, it's actually fat or whatever. And then the word spread and
classic fat big sugar move
going around, peeping around corners with hats and sunglasses going, I heard fat makes you really annoying. Hey, I heard it's fat. Me too. But that saturated fat is because the whatever, you know, vegetable oil mix they have or, you know, whatever like fake
news,
oily butter.
Oh, yeah, don't get me started on fake news. Jesus Christ.
Whatever like fake oil butter you have or whatever is so much less healthy for you because of the chemicals,
right,
because of the oil and stuff like that, where it's just like, yeah, if you eat mounds and mounds of saturated fat every day, it's not good for you. But something like how natural sugar is better than, you know, whatever, Splenda or something like that, where it's just like it's better to have a little bit of real sugar than tons of fake sugar.
Yeah. And also, I think there's maybe something to it. It's kind of an American solution to a problem like this, where it's kind of like, okay, this is something that's maybe unhealthy, but maybe the way to address it, instead of like some like crazy regulation or some, you know, like, oh, we're going to make this a little bit healthier, because we're going to have this new, it's not a government regulation, but this new sort of standard that we expect in the industry. Mm-hmm. And that's going to make that a little bit healthier. Instead of kind of like, maybe the right way to go would be some sort of public awareness where like, hey, just don't eat McDonald's as much. Like, yes, we should eat like McDonald's once every 2 weeks instead of three times a week. You know what I mean? Or once, that should be like a once a month treat.
Yes.
I don't know. It always feels like the correct way to deal with these sorts of things with unhealthy food is just have the full thing, have the full indulgence, but just have it with less frequency.
Yeah, well, that's the best way to do it.
It's exactly what you said about it being like an Americanized solution to a problem, where it's just like America is like, well, I'm going to eat like bread and fatty meat and cheese every single day, all the time, three meals a day. So how do you make that better for me?
Right.
So I eat reduced fat cheese, or I eat fat free
turkey bacon
or something, where it's like light mayo. Don't eat that all the time.
Right.
Like my parents, because of a health scare that my dad had, like, you know, 11 years ago or something like that, you know, started eating better and they both lost a ton of weight. And my dad's still, you know, pretty slim from being like big my whole life. But their whole fridge is like reduced fat cheese, like fat free yogurt, like, you know, margarine instead of butter. And it's just like, I guess if you eat that stuff with the regularity that you eat regular stuff, it will make you lose weight, but it doesn't necessarily make you healthier, because I'm just like, you know, like waiting for one of them to like get some awful disease or something like that.
I know what you're saying. I feel like I was raised with skim milk my entire life, because my dad was afraid of that. And we ate margarine for like a small period of time, and then we went back to butter. But I now have like if I get like a yogurt that's artificially sweetened, I think it's gross. I do drink Diet Cokes, and I like Diet Cokes, but because I got used to the flavor of it, I guess.
Yeah, they're
but
good.
But any artificial sweet, like sweetener that's like in a yogurt or something healthy like that, I usually can't stand the taste of it.
I'm realizing now this is making me think of very specific as a kid, skim milk, and what you were saying about the, you know, sugar versus fat. As a kid, I used to have, we had skim milk in the fridge, and I would have the 0% fat free milk, but I'd like put it on like Cookie Crisp cereal or like Captain Crunch, these carb and sugar loaded things that were so unhealthy. It was just like, you know, it's like pouring gravy on a rice cake. It was just, you're adding so much,
which I also did.
And it's crazy that I used to do that. And it's crazy that there was a time in the 1990s where it was like, oh, sugar is fine. Have as much sugar as you want. Put jam on your toast, and also have toast, you know, put jam on your toast, but just don't put butter on it. You know, it's really weird that there was that time when fat was viewed as such a taboo. Whereas now when they're like, oh yeah, there's a healthy amount of fat you should have, and carbs and sugar, the things that you should stay away from.
Whereas jam, toast, and butter, the healthiest thing there is butter.
Right, exactly.
It's real butter.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they should make McDonald's great again and go back to tallow. What? That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine to use "Make America Great Again" as the as something you're going to turn into a phrase.
Well, you know what? Here's what I got to say about "Make America Great Again." Mm-hmm. I thought America was great when Michael Jackson was around and Urkel.
Yeah.
People want to go.
Now they're both dead.
Right.
These people want to go back to the 50s.
We want to go back to. Yeah,
now they are both dead. They've both deceased.
Right. The 50s was.
Well,
not...
Steve Urkel died with the creation of Stefan Urkel, of course.
Yeah, canonically, his character is dead.
People want to go back to like the 50s when my mom 50s. Went to like the fucking sock hop. Fuck
right.
That. Make it great with, I want another black and white video. And,
yeah.
And Urkel come. Urkel, you know what? Urkel is a great character.
We don't want a jukebox and sharing a milkshake at the.
Milksteak? Hold on a second. Well,
wait a minute. I can
You're
get
onto
this,
something
I can
here.
This milksteak idea. Sharing a milkshake at the malt shop. We're talking, we want to be playing Nintendo Entertainment System on our 4x3 TVs.
Send me back to 1988. That's all we need. We don't have to go back that far.
So you want to go back, basically, like this is a. Back to the, you want to go back to the starting point of Back to the Future.
Back to right before yeah. before Tallow got taken away.
Okay.
Back when all those Confederate statues were still up. Remember that black and white video, and it was like the hugest controversy in the world because he like beat up a car.
It was after the because it was after a Simpsons episode.
Yes, I remember it being after that Simpsons episode,
and it was
the country was much more pro car at that point. I think
right. There wasn't as much of a public transit movement, but so like, yeah, so Michael Jackson, because they did the black or white video, and I think a lot of people might just know the cutoff version because they only aired that version, yes. I think once, and then there was a controversy, but so like in the original, it has like the morphmation at the end of it, mm-hmm. where he morphs in all these different faces, and then...
I used to think that was an actor.
You thought it was one guy? Just like a facial impressionist?
I think my sister said something like that to me. I mean, I was 7 or
right.
8 when that video came out. Yeah, whatever. I was dumb.
That's just one guy.
He can do that with his face. And so there's that, and then it cuts to Michael Jackson, and the song isn't even playing anymore. It's just like a 5-minute short film of Michael Jackson, yes. like doing shamans and busting car windows with like a cast on his arm or something. What was it? Was
his wrist
broken?
Like a crowbar or something?
It was weird.
I think his wrist was just legit broken, maybe or
right.
something weird. His arm.
No. That was his. That was just his like right hand accoutrement or whatever.
Oh,
I think.
But it was basically like a short film version of the Street Fighter 2 bonus stage where like you beat up the car. It was just like that. And then everyone who was watching was just confused. And then a bunch of people, I think people just didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And so then they were like, wait, so this is offensive because that's the only way I know how to react.
Yeah, it was very strange.
Like, people said it was violent or something.
Right.
Where it's like, this isn't the violence that should be in prime time. But he was like, he was beating up a car, a parked car.
It was really weird.
He beat the shit out of it, too.
Yeah. He really did. And then I remember at school, it was like, kids were confused, and the parents were, like, upset.
Didn't he turn into a leopard at the end, too?
Oh, yeah, he morphed. That was the other thing. He morphed into a cat.
Right.
A cat.
Yeah.
Which I think is, I wish I could.
Oh, that was Irma. The same. I need some of your DNA.
The mischief you would get into. So we got some McDonald's fries here.
We do.
So these have been sitting in this bag for about an hour. So I'm not sure how.
Hey, quick side
note. Yeah, go for it.
Is Mac Culkin dating his daughter now?
Macaulay Culkin is dating Michael Jackson's daughter?
Oh, yeah,
is that a rumor?
Isn't he her godfather or something like that?
Yeah, but I think they got matching tattoos. I didn't know if they were dating each other now. People are too mean. You know what? Urkel was a good character. When I think about Urkel, for a child,
sure.
I mean, like, sure, it was like a nerd character and like a,
it was very broad.
And a very broad, big nerd character, but
right.
also like very, like people reacted to that and they obviously hadn't seen a nerd character like that, but also he did a really, really good job with Urkel for a child. That's
yeah.
really crazy.
He really stood out on that show.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
Yeah, he did a good job. Urkel was good.
Did we talk about, I mean, I'm sure you guys know this, but that whole show, Family Matters, was a spinoff of Perfect Strangers.
Yes, I know.
Did know that.
Very yes. strange.
Yeah, big fan. I was a big fan
Perfectly
of that whole
strange
right
lineup. I wonder how bad they are. We've talked about this on here before, and I think Moogie, you and I have talked about it. But people are like, "Oh, Fuller House sucks," and it's like you all wanted Fuller House,
yeah. sure.
And like it was always like this.
It was exactly what it was going to be.
I watched Fuller House and I was like, it's probably better than a lot of other shit that's on TV.
You were watching the original Full House when you were a stupid child.
Like you were right. a dumb baby. whatever. Let's get into the fries.
Yeah.
What were we going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, like, that. Yeah, those TGI lineup, those TGIF shows were very... They were very, like, campy and corny and silly. Like, that's what they were. They were these kind of things. So, like, when you're seeing Fuller House, you're getting exactly what that used to be. You just are not remembering it from your child's point of view.
There was some drama. Didn't Cody from Step by Step hook up with Suzanne Summers?
Really?
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
That's awesome.
Good job, Cody. Nice. All right, on to the fries.
All right, so these have been sitting in this bag for about an hour. I guess, what are we doing with these? Are we just eating them? We know.
I think we should maybe count them.
All right, we'll count. We'll see who has the most fries in one of these containers.
These are ice. You could put this in your drink, and they would make your drink cold, I believe.
So these have been sitting here for a while. Yusong picked these up for us. He got here a little early, and then also we started recording, and we had to get set up and everything. So it's been we should have put these in the Rachel Ray bag. If we'd done that, they would have stayed nice and warm. We fucked up.
You turned off your mic.
Am I on again? Hold on.
There you are. You're back.
Am I back? I'm back. Okay.
You're back, unfortunately.
So wait. So what are we doing? Are we just going to eat these? These are super cold.
They're so cold, which is the complaint about McDonald's fries. Is they go bad very fast.
Yeah.
They're still good, though.
Yeah.
What are we getting? Why do we do this? What are we doing this for?
I don't know.
I guess we have to...
Why do we do any of it?
Eat them and think about them in the context of this podcast.
Right. I guess...
Of the Malcolm Gladwell podcast.
I guess here's what I would say. Maybe taking a step back.
I just want to say that...
Yeah.
Urkel is a cooler nerd than Malcolm Gladwell.
I agree with you on that. Gladwell didn't win a rope climbing contest by inventing a jetpack. All right. So
wait, did you get him confused?
Didn't that happen?
He flew in onto the set of Step by Step.
That is true. I thought that was Gladwell who did that.
Okay.
He crashed through the roof.
The roof
and landed in the bedroom where Cody was fucking Suzanne Summers.
A very graphic episode.
Yeah,
really. Did I do well?
And then he morphed into a cat, and then Alf ate him. Very strange.
That is why Michael Jackson runs off so quick.
Right.
There's a cut dialogue in the extended version where he says, "Oh no, Alf!"
Right.
Runs away.
And then
"Oh no, look, Alf is coming!"
Right. And there's a little swish pan over, and you see him there with a knife and fork and a little bib. All right. So here's what I want to ask you guys. Taking a step back, because this is kind of like all of this sort of great man theory of history where Phil Sokoloff is the one guy who affected this change. But I postulate that it's possible that maybe this was inevitable, that maybe even without Sokoloff, all these things would come to a head. The fact that it's cheaper to use vegetable oil and the fact that it's, you know, more amenable to vegetarians, the fact that it's marginally healthier, at least in terms of 1990s nutrition. And all these chains did it. It wasn't just McDonald's. They all sort of did it. But I almost think that this might have happened anyway. Mm-hmm. Do you guys think this was inevitable? Or do you think there's an alternate reality where we're still eating beef tallow fries today?
I think it's fair to say that it probably would have changed.
There's multiple realities.
Right.
I mean, have you heard of the multiverse, Nick? So there is a world where beef tallow fries still do exist. But I think you're right. It would have changed.
Yeah, it probably would have changed anyway. So, I mean,
These are still good, even though they are...
They're still good.
They're still cold. Here's the thing I got to say. On the back of these, they say, dip them in sriracha mac sauce. And I would, but you didn't give us that. You didn't give us any sriracha mac sauce. You didn't even offer it. Like, give us the sriracha mac sauce.
I think the idea is if you're dining in, you would see that and go up to the counter and ask for some sriracha mac sauce.
Mm. All right.
But a lot of places, they might charge you a quarter for that, depending on the franchise's rules.
Mm.
So who knows? So I don't know. How do we get out of this? Do we have an overall thought on this? Do we want to say if this was a, this was, I mean, I, we all like this, right? Do we want to rate this? Is there any value? We don't think we need to rate
McDonald's
this.
McDonald's fries, the best fries in the world, even after they changed them to make them worse, like what was his name?
Sokoloff.
Like Sokoloff wanted, yeah. And Malcolm Gladwell, I think they're still good.
They're still good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think this is a thing. There's such a generational divide where there are people who are old enough to remember the original version, and those people, to them, this is an inferior replicate. Like this is just a step down, and it's never going to be the same as it once was. But I think for people our age and younger, that we just always know McDonald's fries as one thing, and then we don't have that sort of nostalgia clouding our enjoyment of it.
Because you need us to do some sort of like a fork thing or something, because that's how you're hardwired. How about you say McDowell or Urkel? You take a side of a nerd.
McDowell?
Oh, wait. Oh, Jesus.
Gladwell.
Gladwell. I know. I fucked up.
Here's what I think.
Yeah.
Gladwell or Urkel?
Okay.
Here's what I think. Who cares?
Mookie's...
Just eat what you like and don't eat what you do. Who cares?
Mookie's right.
There's that thing.
But also pick Urkel or Gladwell.
Yeah, Urkel.
Okay, good.
Urkel's good?
Yeah.
Yeah, I go Urkel.
There was this other thing in that podcast where... they were trying, they went to a food lab and they were trying fries fried in beef tallow and whatever they use at McDonald's and something else.
Right.
And they went into the hall and they were like, get some millennials to come eat these fries.
Oh, yeah.
And they all ended up picking the beef tallow ones as the best ones. It was a blind taste test, but it was this thing where he was like, bringing the millennials in to try these fries was as much an act of mercy as it was for, information, because these millennials had never eaten fries fried in beef tallow.
Yeah.
And you're just like, how do you know that?
Right.
Yeah. You go to any restaurant now that's even a little bit fancy, any like new, and they're like frying their fries in like beef tallow and duck fat. Like, why is every generation of people like the generation after me is brain dead and they've never eaten a beef tallow fry?
Yeah, that is like a gastropub thing.
He says this, he does say the shitty thing right at the end where he's like, her one response after eating the fries, thank you. And I was like, shut up.
Yeah. It's like,
fucking nerd.
She's probably like,
I'm going to strap that Urkel rocket to you and fucking blast you off into space.
She's probably like, hey, thanks. Like, you know, like anyone would say if you gave them food for, and like, if you someone gives you Halloween candy, you say like, hey, thanks.
Yeah.
And he like took it as some profound thing. And then you have.
She put her hand upon my shoulder and said, with a twinkle in her eye, thank you. These are the best fries I've ever had.
And then I put on my Urkel pack and I shot off
onto the set of Step by Step,
where Cody had just finished a fresh load onto Suzanne Summers.
Our producer is Dustin Marshall.
All right, let's toss these fries in the trash.
All right, great. So, okay, so this brings me to something else that I thought we could discuss with you, Buki. So, Gladwell's podcast, so much of it is about, you know, nutrition and basically the justification for Phil Sokoloff's one-man crusade was the low-fat craze, the idea that we need to be putting better, healthier stuff in our bodies. And what that made me think of, and having you here, is... the three of us, I think, are three men who have all, you know, dealt with trying to lose weight, going through body transformations, dealing with our nutrition, dealing with our exercise. Mm-hmm. We've all been various shapes and sizes throughout our lives.
Never squares, though.
What's that? Never squares? Ugh. Oh, boy.
I hate myself.
It's true.
I guess, and the two of you guys share a trainer, and that's something that you've been...
That's right.
Mitch, you started with this trainer fairly recently, right? Within the past year.
I started about in October of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Mookie was the one who suggested him to me.
I've been training Jason Lockwood, Lockwood Fitness. He's the best. In Glendale, California.
Mm-hmm.
I've been training with him for about, 6 years.
Yeah.
And you've I feel like you've slimmed down quite a bit, and I feel like your health has like gotten a lot better. Am I wrong about that?
I think my health has gotten better. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I've slimmed down. At one point about 6 years ago, right before I started going to and working out with Jason, I lost a lot of weight. I lost a significant amount of weight, about 50 pounds. And
how'd you do that? Diet change? And
I completely just stopped for probably about 3 or 4 months. I was extremely strict about what I ate. I didn't drink any alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I barely ate any carbs, and I exercised every day.
Yeah, that's when I lost the bulk of my weight. I dropped about 40 pounds, I think, in 2010. And so much of it was just nutrition. Like, yeah. honestly, I wasn't even exercising as much as I am now, but I was just so ridiculously strict about my diet to the point of, like, the McDonald's fries I had just now or the Chipotle I had earlier, I just would have not even put in my mouth. I would have been like, no, that's not an option. Yeah. I just was, like, so, so strict about carbohydrate intake. Like you were saying, not drinking alcohol, which I drink a fair amount of alcohol, a good amount of alcohol now. Yeah. And it's crazy how much that affects your body. Like, it's almost like people talk about diet and exercise as one thing, and it makes you think it's almost 50-50. But I almost feel like it's, like, in terms of fat loss, I almost feel like it's, like, 80-20 diet and then exercise. You know what I mean? I feel like so much of it is just having your nutrition in order.
Yeah. Well, you can exercise, you know, every day, but if you're not, you know, eating right or eating enough for, you know, if you're taking in more calories than you're burning in a day or whatever, then, like, you're not gonna lose weight.
That's, you know, that when I lost weight, the first time where I lost weight was after high school and college, was rowing crew, which I talk about a lot on this podcast.
Yeah.
But I didn't do what you guys did. I didn't change my diet, really. I was still eating whatever I wanted because I was burning, like, over God knows how many calories a day, like 2,000 or
something. How much, like, were you working out? Like, how many hours?
Because we would work out from, like, 4 to 7 or, you know what I mean? Like, it would be intense.
That's an insane amount of training and exertion that you're doing.
Every day, six days a week.
And then you're also 19.
I was 18 or, 18, 19. And then it was hard to drink because we practice on Saturday, even though, but I didn't give up drinking. I was still drinking. I was a college, you know, freshman, sophomore year of college, how much you drink. I don't know. It was harder to get beer, I guess, at that point. But, like, I was still drinking quite a bit. But I guess on, like, you know, like, not every night because of practice. But I didn't change almost any of my dietary things, which you guys both did, which I think is so hard because it's a hard thing to do.
It's a double whammy when you're trying to, like, okay, I'm going to add, and I feel like on a lot of times what happens, I've had spells like this for sure when I've started to do something to remake my life and then I've fallen off the wagon and I've had failed attempts, which to me is like, if you try to do too much at once, it's almost like, oh, I'm going to change my diet and I'm going to exercise. It's just like, man, it's just so overwhelming. It's almost like,
It's too much.
But it's hard to know how exactly to handle it. Like, in terms of what the right balance is, because I think a lot of people, like, they start an exercise regimen and that's almost like, because that's the more active choice to make. Yes. It almost is like, okay, this is the thing I'm going to do that's going to change my life. But I don't know if maybe the right way to go is the slightly less active choice of, like, okay, I'm just going to really get my nutrition squared away and be pretty strict on that and see what that does for my body before I get too hard to exercise.
I've recently changed, like I'm eating healthier. And the thing that I've tried to change more is, like, I did go all or nothing, and then that would make me fall, like, when I fell off, I would fall off bad for like days. So now, like, for not even days, for weeks. And so now it's more of that thing of, like, oh, you had, like, a slice of pizza, but then your next meal, you're just taking it as it comes and being like, your next meal, you're gonna have a salad, you're gonna be good in your next meal, and, like, just instead of, like, just taking it meal by meal and not being, like, crazy about it. Cause I'd done, like, you had success with ketogenic diet, not eating any carbs. And I tried that and I had the reverse where I gained some, like, the last amount of weight that I really had a significant gain was after I did the ketogenic diet and I dropped off of it. And then I'd eaten all this high fatty food and then went back into, like, a bad diet.
Sure.
And then I went up in weight. So, like, so for me, I'm like, I'm not going to do any of the extremes. I'm going to eat healthy. But if I do bad here or there, it's okay.
Yeah.
And relax about it.
And that's the major thing of just, like, you have to, you know, make the decision to make the major changes and go, I'm going to eat better. I'm going to exercise as much as possible, or even say, like, every day, and then be able to forgive yourself when you don't do those things.
Sure.
Because it's really easy to, like, you know, go, I'm not going to eat any carbs or whatever. And then the end of the week comes by and you're just like, I just want to eat a fucking sandwich. And they eat the sandwich and then go, like, well, fuck it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where it's like, eat the sandwich. One sandwich isn't going to kill you or make you gain 100 pounds. So eat the sandwich and then go, okay, next time I eat, it's going to be better. And after that, and you know, once you're like rolling in it and you can get yourself into it, then like it's, you know, like moderation. I think also like, you know, when you're fat,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll only speak for myself, but you know, you can like look in the mirror and go, you're disgusting. And like, and you look at yourself and you're fat and you go, I don't want to look like this anymore. Mm-hmm. And then you work insanely hard for like a whole week and you're like, fuck, I was good this week. And you look in the mirror and like, you're mm-hmm. still fat. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you're not, maybe you lost a couple of pounds and that's about like how it goes. If you're really consistent with it, you maybe lose a pound or two a week and you have to go, okay, this is going to be several weeks before I am
right.
Several weeks, months, years, maybe before I'm exactly where I'm at, because it's so easy to go like, I worked my fucking ass off for a week and
what I have to show
I'm
for
still
it.
Fat. You right. know what I mean? I'm still over 200 pounds or still over 200, whatever it is. And
that,
cause when I lost that weight before 50 pounds, I mean, it was like, it was probably like, you know, 9 or 10 months that it took me, but it was like, once you're in the rhythm of it, you're just like, oh, I'm seeing how consistency and whatever like takes the pounds off and you start feeling better. And then you start going like, oh, I can sustain this. And then you start like, yeah,
I don't know. When I did lose weight with Crew, I felt like I was still uncomfortable in my skin, even like after the 2 years.
Right.
And then I gained weight. I just was like a college student for the last 2 years, and I just gained pretty much all of that back. I feel like I was still better in those 2 years or whatever. But I like I never felt confident and happy. You know what I mean? Like I you still have, and that's a big part of it too, is just mentally being happy.
Yeah.
with the progress you make and stuff like that too, because like. Then, you know, I had that thing of like, oh, I'm just like, I still feel gross or whatever after dropping weight. But anyways, I want to transition just quickly to the guy we work out with. I've been to trainers before, and it is definitely a luxury to go to a trainer, because it's like, it can be $50 a session or whatever. And not everyone can do that. But for me, it's just that thing of having someone who will take me. And you know what I mean? Like who will be,
right.
you have to be accountable and come to this guy. I go to him 3 days a week and like go and had someone there who's like, you got to come and work out with me or whatever. But he's also not too pushy, because I've gone to a couple trainers in the past.
Yeah.
And
he's not a drill sergeant.
He's not a drill sergeant. He works with you. And like, I went to a trainer in the past, and one guy made me like, he worked me out till I puked. I went into the bathroom and I was just like puking everywhere. And I was like, this like sucks. And then I didn't go back to him, and I hated him. And then the guy before that was kind of like the same thing. And I remember him being like, why do we work out, dude? He's like, it's to like, so you can get in shape and thin and girls want to fuck you. And I was like, I hate this guy.
Right.
And Jason is nothing like that. Mm-hmm. So he's really great.
Yeah, he's great.
Also, I can speak from experience. You can get in shape and thin and girls will still not want to fuck you. It's not a magic bullet.
Of course. I do that too.
But I feel like some, and what you're saying about trainers, for me, the thing that I've discovered, and I've just discovered this year through yoga and now through a HIIT high intensity interval training thing I do, is group classes. And I think this is something that the Dumbbells talk about a little bit on their podcast. And you know, if this kind of a very somber discussion of health and nutrition is at all appealing to you, I would say, you know, discuss the Dumbbells podcast is a nice companion to the Doughboys. If you're not already listening,
are we moving too close to their territory?
I don't think we're moving too close to their territory.
Are they going to beat the shit out of us, Eugene and Stanger?
I mean, at some point,
try.
I think
I also like that we're discussing fitness and we have fries in front of us
while I'm eating these cold fries that I'm not even enjoying because of my eating compulsion.
But I mean. But I group fitness for me, like that has the same sort of accountability thing, and that's helped in terms of it like, okay, I have to go to this class, I'm gonna see this teacher, and maybe if the trainer thing is like, that's intimidating, that one-on-one setting for you for whatever reason, which for me I'd be probably a little uncomfortable with that environment. And then also,
are these the weekly jack-off circles you go to?
I'm going to a circle jerk. No,
it's,
Mitch,
it's exercise.
No, Mitch, we're not all gutting together and playing ookie kookie in a yoga studio.
And up and down your shaft and balls.
That's why you wear the same wrist thing that Michael Jackson wears.
Oh, that's what it was.
It was a little jack-off thing.
little Jacko thing.
But also that's the thing, like group fitness can be a little bit more cost efficient than a personal trainer. Yes. Cause you can buy like a bundle of classes or whatever. You guys know how these apps work.
Well, you get the same thing as a trainer out of those classes too, where I feel like the thing for me is that like, I hate working out. Exercising right. sucks.
Mm.
It hurts. It's boring. It sucks. So to just go and have somebody else tell you what to do for an hour is such a huge help. To just be like, you know, if I took any of the workouts that my trainer did with me and he went, okay, now go and do this on your own sometime, I would never do it.
Sure.
Yeah. I would never ever do it, or I would do part of it, or I would do half of it. I've tried to do it before.
Yeah, I agree.
I can't. It sucks. And I have to give myself a little bit more like, I'm just going to go on a hike, or I'm going to like do a short run and some push-ups and sit-ups for the days that I don't train with him. And I have to just be like, that's better than doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't have somebody there to go do this, do that, I won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, so maybe taking a step back and talking in a broad sense, like we were getting to this almost a second ago, but like, at what point have you been happy with your level of fitness and with your physique? Like, at what point have you felt like, oh, I'm happy and I'm confident in where I am? Like, is that the case now? Is it happened to you in the past?
I've never been there.
You don't feel like you've ever been there?
I don't think I've ever been there. I think, and in hindsight, I'm like, oh man, you were there. Like you did all right for yourself, and but you couldn't recognize it at the time.
You're talking about yourself right now.
Yeah, past, yes, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there are like three times maybe in my adult life when I've been comfortable with my body. I never in my childhood, my whole childhood, I felt like fat, tubby, gross kid. And then, but I think when I was probably like 19 through 21, I was in very good shape, and I was working out, and I was swimming, and I was running, and I was in, you know, marathoning shape probably through age 22. And then I got fat when I started working as an adult, and then I lost a bunch of weight again. Well, I think when I turned 30, And I was happy with my body then, and then I gained a little bit back, and I'm pretty happy again with it now because I've been really regimented about my fitness within the past year, and I think I feel pretty good about myself. But it is weird how much that's like, I don't know, am I overall, you know, obviously you want to be in better shape, but like, am I happier than when I was a bigger guy? I don't know if I'm happier necessarily, which is a weird thing to say.
I think you should get fat again.
I maybe should. Maybe that's what I need. I don't know. It's weird. What do you think, Mookie?
I think that, I mean, if you look at like the sheer confidence and like looking in the mirror and going like, damn, you look good, is like probably that time 5 or 6 years ago when I had lost a bunch of weight, where I could just, you know, on a very like physical, tangible level go like, I look good, I feel good. And, you know, I'm still like, I think I'm eating good food and stuff like that. One sidebar I'll say is like, a huge part of it is also like learning how to cook and make food for yourself.
A
huge thing.
Which Mookie wants to, he's going to teach me. He's going to help me
cook. I want to teach Mitch how to cook some stuff.
And I think I could benefit from that.
Hey, future Doughboys Double, I make you guys a home cooked meal and we eat it and talk about it.
I'm into that.
Of course you are. We just getting a meal cooked for you?
It's a minimal amount of work for us. Wait, so what kind of, like, specifically what cooking do you find beneficial? Like, what sorts of things do you make that are harder to get out, maybe?
Well, not even necessarily harder to get out.
Okay. It's
just that, like, you can learn. When I learned how to cook, so I probably, when I met my girlfriend, my wonderful, lovely girlfriend, like, you know, over 8 years ago, she was a vegan, but she was cooking a lot.
Right.
She cooked like amazing vegan food. And I, you know, I've since turned her into like a meat eater and a dairy eater and all that, because I'm terrible, but she was cooking so much, and it like, I just like got into cooking through her, and then started like seriously cooking and making stuff and you know, I think getting pretty good at it. But you, like, when you can make stuff for yourself, you can not only like, it's basically like, if you were to cook for yourself, I feel like I see a lot of people go like, I'm going to cook for myself and I'm going to eat healthier. And it ends up sort of being like, so I get like frozen chicken breasts and like microwavable whatever, or yeah, you know, boiled stuff where you know, boiled vegetables or steamed vegetables or something, or when it's like, oh, when you can learn how to take, you know, like a piece of fish and some broccoli, but like cook it so it tastes really well, and like get a good piece of fish and like, you know, learn how to cook it like the way they would cook it in a restaurant, right, or something like that, then you're eating healthy, but also you're in complete control of like how much butter you use, how much salt you put on it, how much you can make it taste exactly the way that you want it to. And you're eating like, you know, protein and vegetables. And it's just such a big help to go. I think one of the hardest parts of dieting is just like having to eat healthier food that just doesn't taste good.
Right.
So you get bummed out about it, and then you don't want to keep dieting, where it's like, oh, if you can take good food and learn how to cook it well and make it taste good, then you get excited to eat, you know, healthier food, where you're like, I agree. Where you're like, this is, you know, I'm not saying I make restaurant quality food, but I'm saying like, there are some things that you can make that you're just like, I would pay for this in a restaurant, or I would whatever. So
we'll review the meal you cook for us, and we'll rank it out of 5 forks.
Great. Oh God.
We won't pull any fucking punches.
But Mookie's in terms of, also cleared up my back with my back pain with acupuncture.
Yes, she's an acupuncturist. I'll give her a plug at the end.
Hey, there you go. Hey, why don't you do that now, Mookie Blakelock? Thank you so much for joining us. A very solemn discussion, a very serious discussion. Yes. But I think these are serious issues.
And Weiger, I just want to quickly say,
go for it.
You should gain weight again. Think about the t-shirt sales, my man.
You think we could have a new t-shirt, a new design?
A fat Weiger
t-shirt. A new design where I'm bigger than you?
Yes.
It'll be called the Fat Weiger t-shirt on the website.
Like the Fat Elvis period?
The Fat Weiger t-shirt.
Man, I think that'll bum people out.
No, they'll love it.
Right.
We had a lot of laughs here today.
Oh, a lot of fun. So much fun.
Did I get too serious?
I didn't think you got too. I think we got in serious mode because we started talking about health and nutrition. We were all reflecting on our own struggles with food and with exercise. It's difficult. But I don't think that, but I had fun with this talk.
We're all going to take a long, hard, naked look in the mirror tonight.
I think when I was like 19.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe at some point, but I never was confident.
Yeah.
Also, that small dick of mine.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
All right, Mookie, anything you'd like to plug?
Sure. Well, first of all, let me plug Jason Lockwood.
Yeah.
Lockwood Fitness LLC at gmail.com if you're in the Los Angeles area.
We might get him one person.
Hey, he's the best, and I want him to have
he is awesome.
All the clients in the world. So Lockwood Fitness LLC at gmail.com. And then I also want to plug, also, if you're in the Los Angeles area and interested in acupuncture, Sweet Beat Acupuncture, SweetBeet acupuncture.com is my girlfriend's awesome, amazing acupuncture practice. If you've been interested in that, she specializes in like women's reproductive health and fertility and stuff like that. But she can treat any variety of things for any people. So if you're trying to get pregnant.
Which she did. She fixed my lower back, and I got
and pregnant. You're pregnant, yeah, wow. With Wally and Irma. And 9 lives later, and I don't have anything to plug for myself.
Your Twitter handle,
Lil Mookie B. Lots of good non-political jokes.
Keep it non-political, I say.
Yeah,
we get enough of that from the news.
Head over to Nick Weiger's account if you want political tweets.
Yeah. And if you want some comedy, head over to CNN, because what's funnier than the real news these days?
Oh, and of course, at Real Donald Trump, the greatest clown of our generation.
Oh, the orange puffoon. Don't get me started on him.
Orange puffoon?
Yeah, because he's got like that puff on his head.
And he looks like a cheese puff.
Mm-hmm. The Cheeto in chief.
Oh, God damn it.
The Chiefo. Okay, go ahead.
Well, on that note, I'll leave us with a little moment of meow. Sorry, Mookie, you don't know about this.
Yes, I do.
You've been acting very different since you got back from North Korea. Is that a camera on your back, Irma? Are you recording this stuff? Irma? You say your loyalties to the United States? Wally and I think you've been acting weird. The Dictator is a terrible movie? Irma, it's funny. Irma. Hey, everyone's entitled to their opinions.